Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
What the prime time, bitch?
Good morning and welcome to Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. We are back.
Thank you.
Back as we walked to the studio. Donnelly said, welcome home.
Feels good to back, be home.
Back to where we were on Sunday mornings.
Well, it's been like a revolving door when you guys are
here. I know, yeah. We got to bring some
stability
back.
Let's get some professionals in here.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are here for jumping over from Saturdays where we were over the summer. And we are here with another hour of mostly Massachusetts metal.
Takes.
We got the takes.
Got takes. Got a really incredible metal history this week because...
We're going to need it.
The more I researched it, the more it was like, this is a band we talk about all the time on the show. This is a band I talk about all the time on the show. This is a band we talk about all the time on the show. So I'm excited. Matt's going to be upset because Man of War is on this list.
It's on every list
It's on every list.
Can't get away from it. Very haunting. And so, yeah, you want to call in here. The numbers are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. We also have Black Metal Song of the Week, right?
Yep.
And we got our another small concert calendar.
Yep.
But we will get to that. And before that, let's just jump in with a new song. The latest single from Revocation. This is off their album that is now out, dropped. Can't say yesterday anymore because we're not on Saturdays, but on Friday. They're a new album called The Outer Ones, and this was the second single they released off of it called Blood Atonement. I'm going to play it right now on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Ritual, purify, bring
There you go. The latest from Revocation, their new album, The Outer Ones, you can pick up now. And, ready?
Oh, I'm ready. I got a bed for it, too.
Ooh, okay.
Let's talk about Manny.
Oh, wait, okay. We're doing this first, not metal history.
Oh, no.
I'm ready for your bed.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
So Mandy is the new film by Panos Cosmatos, starring Nicolas Cage and no one. Panos Cosmatos, son of George P. Cosmatos, director of Rambo 2 and Cobra. And a bunch of good movies,
says a lot,
but I love Cobra and Rambo 2. But so you haven't seen it, right?
Correct.
I think I'm kind of sad I didn't see it in the theater, but it was just like, I think they're only playing it at like in like Alston or something, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna.
What's the Coolidge played it?
It's Coolidge Corner, so I'm like, you can just get it on YouTube or whatever, iTunes for like $6, and so like the book on Mandy is, it looks, so this is one of the things when I talk about a movie is like, I don't think I have the vocabulary to talk about like why I like something, but I'm like, it looks really cool, like everything looks really weird. A lot of like beautiful tracking shots of just like
the cinematography.
Yeah, the cinematography, I guess. But it's just like, it looks, everything always looks otherworldly, even when they're just like eating dinner in front of their TV. It just like looks like, what? That's weird. It's like two movies, kind of, and it's the thing that I wasn't ready for, because in the trailers, it's basically like, oh, it's Nicolas Cage just going bonkers. He's gonna be yelling and stuff. But what it is actually, what it actually is like a live action heavy metal, which is why we're playing Candlemass right now. Because the theme of the movie, so it's like, I guess it's horror in the event that it's like, it's basically an action movie that's so incredibly violent it becomes a horror movie, if that makes any sense. The Mandy is Nicolas Cage's wife. I don't even know Nicolas Cage's character's name. I think it's like John. She's like way into, they live in the woods somewhere in like the Yukon, I think. And she's like way into drawing, like, I think I was talking to you just yesterday, like Frank Frazetta, like the Conan comics, like just like, yep, beefy dudes and like ladies in loincloths with swords. She's like way into like drawing that stuff. And so like something happens to her, and the second half of the movie starts, and you kind of leave reality, period, and you're just in that, and you don't realize it till the very end. Like, you're like, you're still kind of rooted in the real world, but as the movie goes on, you're like, this isn't America anymore, you know? Like, this is like some sort of fantasy world. And it's fantastic. It's one of my favorite movies of this year.
Okay.
Mandy. I can't recommend it enough. I want to watch it again, because I feel like there was stuff I missed. The only downside, I would say, is I wanted more. There are some characters in the movie, like some antagonists in the movie, I would say, and they have a very interesting backstory. And first you think they're supernatural, and then it's revealed to you by Bill Duke from The Predator that they might not.
I'm gonna have me some fun.
No, I'm gonna have me some fun. He's just dry shaving, just cutting himself. They might not be supernatural. He reveals to Nicolas Cage, and Nicolas Cage makes crazy Nicolas Cage face. But I wanted more of those guys because they had like a good look, but you kind of only see them in shadow. And I wanted to be like, just show me the guy, show it to me. But they don't. But that's the only downside of this film. It's incredible from start to finish. You should watch.
And so it's legit. It's not just like the novelty of weird Nicolas Cage.
No, that's the thing. I was gonna say like there, of course there is a scene where Nicolas Cage is like flipping out. And he's walking around in his underwear, and he's doing the thing where he's like laughing and screaming, right, at the same time. So like, yes, there is that in there, but it's actually not a lot. Like, actually, for most of the movie, you could have had like, I like that it's Nicolas Cage because I like him, but it, like, you could have had like any sort of like generic like muscle guy be his character, you know? Because he's kind of like the Terminator at a certain point, and he's just not talking. So the parts where you need a Nicolas Cage were good, when he's making crazy face and screaming and running around in his underwear and stuff, Cheddar Goblin. But then beyond that, literally, it's like two title cards, right? So the first title card starts out and it's called like Children of the New World, and it's like very David Bowie, right? and everything is kind of like softly lit, and there's like fairy lights all over the place, and it's like very dreamy. And like, do you ever see the old like the King Arthur movies, like Excalibur? Did you ever see Excalibur? It's kind of like that. And then the second, and then when Mandy starts, it's literally like Mandy in like the black metal font in blood, and then it just covers the screen, and then it's like a different movie. It's just like straight ahead, like action, 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 action. So I don't think you actually even needed the zany Nicolas Cage stuff for that whole half of the movie. I mean, it's $6 on YouTube. Just go home and watch it.
Strong recommendation
a
coming
strong
from Mandy.
Recommendation. Then you know what, guys? Just watch the heavy metal movies. I think I've recommended
that before. How many? There's multiple heavy metals?
Well, there's heavy metal and there's heavy metal 2000.
Okay.
Which stinks.
Okay.
And then you can read the heavy metal magazine.
Well, there you go. Nice Sunday viewing.
Yeah.
Get prepped for October.
Yeah, best month. I'm so excited. I decorated my whole house yesterday. Got little pumpkins everywhere.
Oh, it's terrifying.
It's terrifying.
All right, so that's very exciting. And, yeah, so we'll see how it compares to Mom and Dad, too, which you have not seen.
I have not seen, but I feel like Mom and Dad is a more straight-ahead, like, horror movie.
There's a Nicolas Cage meltdown scene.
Yeah,
so
I mean, you want it. Like, when it happens, if I was in the theater, I'd be like nudging my friends, like, he's gonna freak out. He's gonna do the thing. And then he does it, and then people are like, woo! It's like the equivalent of, like, I don't know, like, some... Like playing the hits, do you know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. if you were like a classic rock band and they're like, they're gonna do Freebird. And then like this is like kind of Nicolas Cage staring at the camera and you know he's gonna like smile and like move his head around. That's what you want. So
perfect. And
excuse me.
Whoa. I know it was a rough night, but
no, I've got a cold.
Did we ever talk about Hereditary?
Yeah.
Okay, we did talk about Hereditary. Yeah.
Oh.
No, I'm saying, have we talked about it on the show? Because you were, like, dying for me to see it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think I finally did watch it, and then you weren't here. It was, like, when you had a bail.
You want to talk about it?
Sure.
Did you like it, first of all?
It was good. It was very good.
Did you like the ending, when it just kind of, like, spirals out of control?
Yes.
And it's like, oh, my God, it's a cult! I love that part so much. It was, like, the first 99% of the movie is, like, well, you see, like, kind of... hints of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you see, like...
But you see the...
Who are these old people? Like, what's this group?
The stuff being written, like, on the walls.
But then, like, cut my head off. Then, oh my god, a cult. Then, oh my god. Like, because it could have been, like, just kind of, like, mumbly, sad indie drama. And then it's like, oh no, this is a 70s cult movie. Oh, I'm sorry, you thought you were watching this? This is actually this. I thought that Hereditary was, like, one of the best movies of the year. Also, for different reasons. But Mandy is my favorite action movie of the year.
Okay.
Action fantasy.
That'd have to be a, yeah. That's your genre.
My genre, action fantasy. Hard, stylish action.
If it would be a perfect fit if it were, it's like the equivalent of your metal history bands.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, like it has like a very, the thing about Mandy too for the show is it has like, it is very focused on that. I think it's very, like the heavy metal idea, like the books and the movies, but like Mandy herself, like in every scene, is always wearing some sort of metal t-shirt and is into the Frank Frazetta art and blah blah blah. So like that's kind of the movie basically. It's like it's basically like Casamatos being like, I like this stuff, I'm gonna make a movie that looks like one of these paintings basically.
Do you ever see The Devil's Candy? Have you seen that yet?
No. I gotta say,
speaking of like metal t-shirts and things like that, it's very very heavy influence.
And Nick Pupper Giorgio's in it.
All right, and I also, have you seen The Endless? That was the most recent horror movie I saw.
No, I've not seen it.
I would recommend it. It's the guys who did, no, I forget, and I'll have to report back after the next song.
Tight.
But no, they've done a couple horror movies now. Yeah, a couple friends met in film school, and they both star and direct in The Endless. And speaking of cults, it's another cult movie.
I love a cult movie.
A UFO death cult, as they refer to it.
I love a UFO death cult movie.
And that, nice segue into, a new song by Unearthed.
Yes.
Called Survivalist. And this is going to be off their album that comes out November 23rd called Extinctions. And yeah, so the latest single, Survivalist. And you're hearing it on Bird Brunch, WMFO, Medford, 91.5. I'm streaming live on WMFO.org. And we will be back with we're promised an excellent metal history. So be ready.
If I don't die.
Changed because someone was there to get me to use drugs. No one can understand. Whether or not they've struggled with addiction themselves, people seem to think that having someone who will listen is gonna help make it better. I'm realizing that I need help.
I'm listening.
I need help. I'm realizing that I think that having someone who will listen is going to help make it better. Whether or not they've struggled with addiction themselves, people seem to understand. No one can get me to use drugs. My life changed because someone was there to listen.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
It's time for the most slappinest This Week in Metal History ever. September 23rd through the 30th. Things that occurred this week in the history of metal, the history of things, the history mostly of European power metal. I also want to say 20 years ago this week, man, Nintendo 64 came out. What's your favorite N64
Ooh.
Game? First of all, did you own an N64?
I did. I bought it. So I, that was my big, so I had, say, I missed the, so when it first came out with, like, that was PlayStation, right? PlayStation 1.
I think PlayStation came out first.
Right.
And then
there's N64, right?
Yes.
And then Xbox was like for PlayStation 2 era, right?
Correct, yeah. Okay.
So, I was not on the initial wave of like PlayStation, N64, but then one day I packed up my NES, my Sega CD, brought it all down to the Game Exchange.
Was it Game RIP? Exchange or Funko Land?
Game Exchange.
Ooh, okay.
And, traded all that in, got a credit for
one N64.
A used N64. Yeah, it was like 2 years. I think I got my N64 like 2 years after GoldenEye came out.
Okay. What was your favorite N64 game?
Probably
one of the systems where like it's colored because I love that era of my life, but I feel like it didn't have a ton of good games.
WWF,
a lot of it was like blurry.
WWF No Mercy.
Yeah. Damn. That's a good one. Yeah, all the wrestling games were good. No Mercy. We had a treadmill in my like porch or whatever, and we had this old Zenith TV. That's kind of where I had my video game set up, with this like massive Zenith TV, and I would like run on the treadmill, and you could play WCW versus NWO Revenge, and you could set it to computer versus computer, and I would like run my own Fed and have my fake created characters wrestle each other, like the computer would wrestle the computer. I gotta go Star Fox, because damn, I almost missed a wedding because I was playing that game so hard.
That's right. Our freshman year, I went back. I don't know if it was Columbus Day. One of the times I went back home, I brought back the N64 so we could all play No Mercy.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, when people go back to play, like, GoldenEye, I'm like, no, because, like, that's not how video games work mm-hmm. anymore, so it just feels like trash. But, like, No Mercy slaps.
Because
still good. Like, it's still, like, you can just play it today, and it's, like, it still works. That whatever control scheme works,
because they had that what was the engine that was all
Aki
and because I remember when WrestleMania, this is way too down the far the rabbit hole with that N64, but anyway,
N64
WrestleMania 2000 came out, and it was all exciting because they had switched from WCW to WWF.
Yep.
But it was kind of disappointing because everything was out of date. Like you played it, and it was like the original Legend Christian gimmick, the original Hardy gimmick.
Yes.
People that weren't really active anymore, so it's kind of strange.
Yeah, it's interesting with that, because like the development time takes so long, mm-hmm. and wrestling changes so fast.
Yeah, and that was because that was like the peak of that Attitude Era.
Yeah,
so you're right, and you're like, this is fun, but it wasn't all that good. And then No Mercy like took a huge leap in terms of the gameplay and the options. And
you could
like,
play as
wrestlers,
a hoe,
and you could play
as a hoe. You could do a nut shot and make the ding noise.
You could. I had one friend who would always play. He would play as Stacy Keibler. And then you could do the I had a friend. And then you could do the reverse finisher.
Yeah.
So somebody would be I think it might have been Werner would play Scott Steiner and then like do the reverse finisher against the hoe. So like he was doing the hoe finisher and taunt, and it was
so dumb.
Quite entertaining.
The No Mercy rule that I had when I was in high school was like me and my high school friends play No Mercy, and you have to make your own character, and you weren't allowed to give your character moves that you couldn't physically perform in real life. So like one of the kids who's just stronger than everyone was the only one who could do like a suplex, and the rest of us were just doing like DDTs and punches and stuff. Alright, anyway, September 24th, 86, Megadeth releases Rust in Peace. You know what I was saying, like me and the This Week in Metal guy Twitter account, where I source a good amount of stuff. I think like we wouldn't agree on anything, because he's like a big Trump guy, because he was like he's like, funny video, bro, and it was like Trump like doing the lyrics of this song. I'm like, look, Dave has bad opinions, but come on. Speaking of Candlemass, which we played earlier when we were talking about Mandy, September 25th, 89, Candlemass releases the album Tales of Creation. Another one of those bands that like found on the show, because I've heard of Candlemass before, but it's like not a big, like, doom guy, but I'm like, but Candlemass. Because of the singer, because of this. Like,
yeah.
Because of that.
There it is. You know? That's you.
Because, like, you can play doom, but if you're not singing, like, some sort of, like, Dracula character, I don't want it. Matt, remember when I was talking about the hits?
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with the hits. This week, September 24th, 2009, All Shall Fall, the 8th. Studio album by Norwegian black metal band Immortal.
Ooh.
Released in Europe September 25th, 2009, in the US in October. But the last album to feature vocals by our boy Abath, Doom, Ooh. Occulta. Because this is like the beginning of their like 10-year break, basically, right? Because they just came back this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the video for All Shall Fall, which is incredible because they're just standing on a mountain. And it looks cold as hell, but they're just wearing like t-shirts and stuff. Like, there's legitimate snow. Like, there's no way these guys are freezing. Anyway, Abath slaps.
But the black just keeps you warm.
As we found out last night, that the TouchTunes music app
yes.
for jukeboxes. By the way, download the TouchTunes music app for your phone. Is a trick to play songs on the jukebox that you wouldn't want to walk up and walk away, and people would know you're playing it. But if you have it on your phone, you can just play from wherever. Nobody knows.
I don't know. I would kind of want to own it.
I don't want to own it. Just the Hits continues. September 25th, 2001. Creator releases the album Violent Revolution. Matt, speaking of Violent Revolution, you see the Kavanaugh hearings on Friday? That was pathetic. Creator slaps. This is like, according to musicologists, a return to creators like... more thrash style. They'd been kind of like a little bit all over the place in the years intervening the early 80s to 2001 for crying out loud, and had been a little industrial for a while in the 90s because you had to be a little bit alternative, I guess. And then they're like, nah, let's just be ourselves. And of course, it's, what is it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they released Satan Is Real.
I think that was last year.
Creator slapped so hard. all right. September 26th, Dutch death metal band Pestilence releases the album Malleus Maleficarum. Matt, do you know what the Malleus Maleficarum is?
I do.
Can you tell me what it is?
We learned about it. This was back, was it for prosecuting witches?
It's a book, and it's the hammer for witches, or witch hammer.
Right.
The best-known and most important treatise on witchcraft, written by the discredited Catholic clergyman Heinrich Kramer, under the Latinized name, basically Henricus Intersorius, first published in the German city of Speyer in 1487, and endorses the examination of witches,
mm-hmm.
and for this purpose develops a detailed legal and theological theory. It was a bestseller at the time, second only to the Bible. Basically yep. describes ways for identifying, rooting out, investigating, torturing, and murdering witches. And then the church was like, no, you can't do this. They excommunicated Heinrich. The book has been published a number of times in different languages. Obviously, it was written in Latin, translated into German. You can get a copy of it on Amazon, which I have. It's grim.
You have a copy of it?
Yeah, you can get a copy of it on Amazon. Is it based on the original? I have no idea. This is a book that's, you know, 700 years old. But you can basically buy, like, rough translated, like, scholarly PDFs of right. Witch Hammer.
I believe we read parts of it at Holy Cross for some class.
It's like, a fascinating kind of look at that thing, and, like, grimoires, like, books that are magic, basically. Anyway, that kind of stuff's fun. Halloween, you guys. Speaking of... Sounds of Praise. Excuse me. Speaking of Sounds of Praise, I said September 26, 2000, Lamb of God releases their album New American Gospel. The snare drum on this album is, I don't want to say Saint Anger-esque, but it's close. Meaning it's perfect.
Yep, it slaps, if you will.
Meaning it slaps, just like the snare drum on Saint Anger. Which, by the way, I don't know. So, speaking of the TouchTunes app, when it sometimes you'll play a song and I think the bar can cancel it on you, and so TouchTunes will send you an email like, sorry, we weren't able to play this song. And like, I tried to play Saint Anger like 9 times last night, and they kept getting my money back, like, sorry, you can't play this song. It's a good album. I don't really, nothing much to say about Lamb of God. Randy Blades, a cool guy.
They they released another album as Burn the Priestess here.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. The tour is done with them and Anthrax and Slayer? Or is it like in Europe now? I feel like those tours are like forever. It'll be like a 3-year tour.
I know that actually. So Randy, of course, was helping out with the hurricane relief.
Sure. What a guy. What a swell guy. Randy Blythe for president.
He ran for president one year, or at least he put out his platform on his website.
Well, Matt's looking this up. September 26, 1992, Crowbar releases the album Obedience Through Suffering.
American Sludge. Ooh, yeah.
Is this heavy? You feel like you're in the Mariana Trench.
Damn.
It's too sludgy. I can't drive
it. It's quite
this.
Sludgy and, yeah.
This is a good album. But it's like, damn, that's depressing.
The Slayer, Lamb of God tour will continue in Europe starting November 1st in Dublin.
Yeah, that makes sense that you just tour for the forever.
They end in Helsinki.
Speaking of the hits, September 28th, 1998, Hammerfall releases the album The Legacy of Kings. The artwork features our boy, of course, the Hammerfall mascot, Hector, who is, as far as I understand it, a sentient suit of armor. If you've ever seen Full Metal Alchemist, I believe they've stolen that from Hammerfall. The enhanced CD, because it was 1998 and you would buy enhanced CDs to put in your CD-ROM, included the music video for this song, Let the Hammer Fall, a photo gallery, lyrics, PC wallpapers, a screensaver, and a Winamp skin.
That's tremendous.
That's value, okay?
I was not a Winamp guy, by the way.
You're not a Winamp guy?
No.
I was a big Winamp
guy. I was a real player.
I was a Winamp guy, and then when I was a Groove Shark guy for many, many years. If you're like a new indie band, I guess. Hang on. Damn.
Oscar just did a backflip somewhere.
Yeah, he just did a sweet backflip into a lake. The most athletic man in European power metal. What was I gonna say? Yeah, like instead of like handing out tapes for your like indie metal bands, why don't you start handing out enhanced CDs for your CD-ROM? You know, what if I wanted a Winamp skin that said like.
Let the Hammer Fall?
Let the Hammer Fall. I know. I was trying to think of like a local like metal band name, just like pulling one out of thin air, and it wasn't as easy as I thought it would be. Fence Puncher. What if I want my new hardcore Fence Puncher enhanced CD? September 28th, 85, British heavy metal band Angel Witch releases the album Screaming and Bleeding. Obviously, this sounds kind of exactly the way you would expect it to sound. I think what Angel Witch is that like they were very influential for like the thrash era. Lars Ulrich has said this is his favorite band. This is the band that inspired him to create Metallica. It's good. It's like one of those bands where you like listen to it and you're like, this is fine. This is indistinguishable from like whatever you want to call it, second wave, first wave, British heavy metal.
Right.
Guitarist, I think, from Iron Maiden said the reason that these guys never took off is because they had bad management. So they're still out there kind of like hacking away while like...
It's like Anvil, right?
Yeah, kind of like Anvil. They're like British Anvil. Whereas like the guys from Iron Maiden like all like sleep in airplanes or whatever made of gold. Matt, speaking of hits, September 28th, 2004, our boys, Cradle of Filth, released the album Nymph of the Mean.
Boys and lady.
Boys and ladies. Ladies and boys. Title is a portmanteau of nymphet and amphetamine, in case you didn't pick that up. Danny Filth explained it as a drug-like addiction to the woman in question with her insidious vampire qualities.
I mean, we can relate.
Literally bringing her lover back from the brink of the spiritual grave, only to bury him further on the strength of whim.
I just wonder, how soon does he shriek?
Immediately. He says, this is very Edgar Allan Poe, is what Danny Filth said, and I say to Danny, I know, dude. I know it's very Edgar Allan Poe.
Typically, I read Edgar Allan Poe and say, this is very Cradle of Filth.
Yeah, sometimes I'm reading like, I'm reading like The Pit and the Pendulum. I'm like, seems like you're ripping off Danny Filth here, old guy. They'll be back. September 19th, 1992. Just the hits. Manowar releases the album The Triumph of Steel. Folks, the lead singer Joey DeMarco read the Iliad a lot to write the albums for this, write the lyrics for this album. The first song is like 30 minutes and it's 8 parts. And I think it was trying to make a concept album and never got off the ground about like the Iliad, which makes sense if you're a Manowar and you're like really into like guys with swords killing each other. So, like, the song Achilles, Agony, and Ecstasy in 8 parts is the longest, most complex Manowar song of all time. But not only that, it's not just, like, sword and sandal garbage, but, like, scholars. On the article on this album, professors at Bologna University in Italy, Professor Eleonora Cavallini, says, a classics professor in Italy, says, Joey DeMeo's lyrics simply imply a careful and scrupulous reading of the Iliad. The songwriter's focus his attention essentially on the crucial fight between Hector of the basically the Romans and Achilles.
The Greeks?
So no, well, Hector, about the Trojans? Hector is a Trojan.
Yeah.
Has paraphrased some passages of the poem. Incredible. I mean, this is obviously the second track, so I'm not going to play 30 minutes.
So this should be on, like, the curriculum for classic majors, this album.
I think if I was a classics professor, I would come in and play that album and walk out. Matt, that's going to do it for this week in Metal History.
That was... I lived up to the hype, I have to say.
Thank you.
All right, so, fast-forwarding to now. The shows you can see this week, starting tonight, September 30th, at O'Brien's Pub. It's Why Do These Guys Play Every Week? Just to Torture Me. Viva Sepultura with... Moy Knock. No idea. There's an apostrophe in that one.
I love it.
And a Y and a Q. Coffin Birth and Legions Descend on Tuesday, October 2nd at once. And it's the Inferabro album release show. You should go because it'll be quite black. Wednesday, October 3rd at Middle East, it's Cain Hill, Sharptooth, Afterlife, Northern Life, and North Woods.
Ooh.
On Thursday, October 4th at House of Blues, it's Bullet for My Valentine with We Came as Romans, still touring despite the loss of their singer recently and Bad Omens. Friday, October 5th at Bright Music Hall, it is the 30th anniversary tour of Paradise Lost. And they're playing with Solstafir and the Atlas Moth. At Ralph's, it is the You Are Never Alone Worcester Music for Suicide Awareness with Buchenheimer, Texas Deathmatch, 12-Step Program, High Karate, and Tester. Saturday, October 6th, the big one at the Palladium, After the Burial with the Acacia Strain, Era, Make Them Suffer, The Floors Embrace, Hope Before the Fall, Nox Eye Arena, Led to Believe, Dreams of Scipio, Regime, and Before I Turn. And at Ralph's, you can see the Crypt Keeper 5, Damnation, Shadow Windhawk, and the Morticians, and Darker Days. Hey, man, I'll do it.
That's a good list. Are you ready for Black Metal Song?
I am.
Remember when I said Danny Filth would be back?
Oh.
Tearing the Veil from Grace by Cradle of Filth off the album Midian. This song might be familiar to you because it's the entrance music for the Order of the Neo-Solar Temple.
No.
Black Metal Song of the Week, Brutal Brunch.
Flapping in night. A Trojan gets marching.
That was beautiful.
It's a lot.
A lot taken.
We needed a 9-minute song to get through some time here on the show.
Yeah, it was a time filled, but no, it was got it. Now I'm ready for October.
You should be ready for October.
That album, as we discovered, was released on Halloween of 2000.
Naked Midian.
Midian's not even spelled the same way, but we'll
go
with it.
Is it not spelled the same way as the wrestler Midian?
It's not.
Midian is like a place, I think, right? It's like your it's a plane. Come on, read your books.
Read your Malleus Maleficarum. It's in there. All right, so that was Cradle of Filth, Tearing the Veil from Grace from
it
Midian.
Was.
We kicked off the show with
very
brand new stuff from Revocation on Earth. And so we got one more song to play. Before we do,
we got to talk about Grace.
Yesterday, as you know, I'm a Tampa Bay Lightning fan. Went to a Bruins Flyers preseason game with one mission and one mission only.
To wear your Lightning jersey.
And that was to find Gritty. We were unsuccessful in our search.
Very unsuccessful.
Gritty was not in Boston last night, but
we have
to talk about the greatest mascot in sports.
Gritty is the greatest mascot I've ever seen in my entire life. The fact that he fell down, I think, in the first game, too, it just like adds to his
very first appearance on the ice with his t-shirt
legend.
Gun.
Just
legs. It's like out of a cartoon. Legs just go right out from under him.
Just cartoonishly fell right on his back like an absolute idiot. And like... What is it? It's just another monster.
Yeah, well, it's the representation of the greediness of Philadelphia.
The greediness of Philadelphia.
It's like Michael Myers is the embodiment of he's just like evil come to life. Gritty is just grit come to life.
Yeah, Michael Myers is not a person. He's the shape. Gritty is the shape of mascots. Yeah, he's like a demented Syracuse orange man who's like been living out in the woods and grew a big beard. That's what made him Gritty. He was like originally cheering for the orange man, and then he's like, I'm out of here. He went to the jungle. He came back, grizzled.
Yeah, so if you have a chance, you have to watch the unveiling where he whoops around and his googly eyes are going crazy.
So my goal now is to get rid of the Bruins mascot and replace him with a mascot called Grizzly. And he'll just be like a grizzled guy. He's like a prospector or something, but he has crazy googly eyes.
That's what makes it, really. You have the design and then the eyes. He did go, so I was like slightly hopeful he may make an appearance, and maybe he will throughout the year, but
I feel like
he took a helicopter to Madison Square Garden for the preseason game against the Rangers.
If he did, honestly, like the problem would be if I'm the fans, if I'm like the Bruins, I'm like, you can't come here, because I would throw down my Bruins jersey and just buy Flyers stuff. Because I would just buy a Gritty thing. Like, I got, because I didn't go to the game, but I met these guys after. And I was looking around for like those guys who like sell those knockoff T-shirts, and I'm like,
right, surely, and I was saying,
surely someone has already made a knockoff Gritty T-shirt, and then no, they hadn't yet.
So there you go, the greatest. That's the biggest news of since the last show has been the unveiling of Gritty. Basically,
that's the biggest sports news there is.
And it is brutal, not brutal. Gritty is the embodiment of brutality.
He's the most brutal thing ever.
Most brutal mascot.
Swivelly belly, jiggly eyes. That's brutal.
All right, and so in terms of the show itself, we're back on Sundays after a lengthy absence.
Good to be back. Good to see Darnley.
Good to see Darnley. Nice warm welcome back. Very excited to see us. Excited to see him. We're probably going to be going every other week at this point, but we have to still confirm this because one of us.
One of us.
This has nothing to do with Matt not knowing how the calendars work, but I will be relocating to the Providence area. So.
They got rid of the Red Sox, and
I know. I chased them out. That's when I moved back to Boston. Got rid of the pro team, too.
Red Sox for Matt.
I do have one chance to see the Durham Bulls next summer, so I'll be quite excited.
Congratulations.
I'm sure that, yes. So, yeah, that is the deal. So, stay tuned. We'll probably be back in 2 weeks, but we will confirm. Stay tuned. I know that you will all be glued to Facebook for our big announcement and updates. We'll post a playlist for today. And let you know what's going forward. But it's a big month for the show because it's October, and we'll bring that the spooky beds and
I can't wait.
Some Rob Zombie tracks, and
I can't wait for October. I took my air conditioners out yesterday. I put up all my spooky Halloween decorations. I'm like, it's October, baby.
All right, good times. So we are out of here. Again, you've been listening to Bros Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org. Stay tuned. I believe we got the Sunday morning come down coming up next at the top of the hour. Until then, gonna play you with some. It was a very busy week, so I'm gonna close the show out with a not exactly local song, but a new release. Black Metal Song of the Week is understood, but we're gonna close things out with some brand new stuff from the band Aborted. They're back with their death metal. They've been running strong for over 20 years now, and this is the title track off their latest album, Terror Vision. And you're listening to it on Brutal Brunch. Until our next show, which may be probably in 2 weeks. Stay brutal.
Stay brutal.